We are continuing our studies in the future, in the past. For the last week, and past weeks in April, we had been dealing with the feasts of the Lord in Leviticus chapter 23. Now, the question may arise from some of us, why are we not keeping these feasts if they are so important? Now, let us remember that these feasts are just but shadows. And as we read in Colossians 2, 16 and 17, let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival that will be the feast, or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance of Christ. These feasts were but shadows, and they pertained specifically only to Israel, not to the church. Would you remember that the church would be in the valley between two mountain peaks that the Old Testament prophet saw as the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow? They did not see the valley of the mystery of the church. Therefore, these feasts in the Old Testament, and that would also include the new moons and the Sabbaths, they were all but shadows pointing to the time when all these events will be fulfilled in Israel, yet in future. For the moment, Israel has been laid aside, and we are now in the dispensation of the mystery of the church in the valley. And so God deals with us. And when the church is taken up, then God will take back Israel and will deal with them again. And so we had studied these feasts, the Passover and the Unleavened Bread, shadows pointing to the holy walk and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first fruits and the Feast of Weeks, pointing to the resurrection of Christ, and with regard to the church, her revelation, because the church was born on the day of Pentecost. Then we dealt with last week with the interval which would represent or would point to the dispensation of the church age now, which we have no details in the Old Testament. Then after that, the church will be raptured. And this we will see in the Feast of Trumpets. And we saw it last Sunday, that when the trumpets will be blown, the church will be raptured up. But then that will be after the interval, the dispensation of the church. So after the church has been raptured up, God will deal with Israel again, with the nation of Israel. And God will gather them back from all the four corners of the earth, the four corners of the world, gather them back to their own land, where God would deal with them accordingly. And there will be much repentance, and then after that, there will be restoration unto God. Today, we shall deal with the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles. This will touch on, with regard to the church, her reward and reign. The reward in the feast in the Day of Atonement, her reign over the earth in the tabernacles. And as far as Israel is concerned, it will have to do with their retribution. They are restored, then they are regathered back from the four corners of the earth to the land. They will be restored after they have repented. And after their repentance, they will then go into rest. And so that we shall see in the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, last week, I forgot, or perhaps I did not have time, I skipped over a very important verse in Leviticus chapter 23. If you have your Bible open, Turn to it because it's very important. And it is Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 22. Now, up to verse 21, we have the Feast of Weeks. Then, the next verse, in verse 23, we have the instructions concerning the Feast of Trumpets. In other words, this verse is inserted between the weeks and the trumpets. Or, to be more specific, between the interval and the Feast of Trumpets. This text from Leviticus 23 is a text meeting the challenge of the times before Christ takes the church up into heaven, the rapture. And what is this text which is so important? When you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest, thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. This instruction was specifically given at the end of the Feast of Pentecost, before the Feast of Trumpets, at the end of the interval, before the rapture of the church. And so, what does this mean? To get a detailed and a better understanding of this verse, of course, Deuteronomy chapter 24, 19 to 22 will help us explain. But let me explain. When the children of Israel were to gather in the harvest, now remember, this will be the last harvest. There was the Feast of First Fruits, the barley harvest. There was then the Feast of Weeks, the wheat harvest, and the corn harvest. After this, there will be no more harvest for the rest of the year. And so, this was in preparation for the Feast of the Trumpets. Now, what is happening is, when they were to gather the harvest in from the fields, they must not reap the harvest at the corners. Although at the corners of the field there would be very good sheaves, they must not gather them. Let's go into detail what they were supposed to do. First, there is a gathering of the corn, or of the harvest, or of the wheat, whatever you might like it to be. That is a reminder to us. Now remember, please, I want to stress, this is in preparation for the coming of the Lord, the Feast of Trumpets. John chapter 4, 35. Say not ye, there are 4 months to the harvest. Look upon the field, they are white already to harvest. That's the challenge given by Christ to the disciples then. And to now, we are ever nearer the time of the harvest. Look not on the fields and say it is yet 4 months more until harvest. Now is the time. Romans chapter 11 verse 25 says this, that now actually during this period, while the church is being dealt with by God, it says that blindness in part has come to Israel. They are blind. They do not see all these things which the church sees. But God says, the time is coming when there will be the fullness of the Gentiles that will come in. What does that mean? The fullness of the Gentiles. Genesis, Romans 11, 25. The fullness of the Gentiles refers to the time when all the Gentiles, together with those Jews who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ in the church, will have their full termination. The duration has come to an end, and God will take them up, the fullness of the Gentiles, which is different as the times of the Gentiles mentioned in Luke 21, 24. Times of Gentiles would mean the times when the Gentiles were in control, for example, from the time of Nebuchadnezzar, when Jerusalem was stepped upon by the Gentile kingdoms. And until that time, when Jerusalem will be restored, that would be the fullness, that there will be the times of the Gentiles. But the fullness of the Gentiles will refer to that period of the church that will come to an end on its completion and will be taken up into heaven. Now, let's come back to Leviticus 23. The grain of the gathering, verse 22, not the good grains in the corner must be left untouched. No matter how good they are, the people must not harvest them. They are to be left for the poor and the strangers. And what about the gleanings? What is meant by the gleanings? In Deuteronomy 24, we read that as they were harvesting the wheat and the corn, and as they were collecting the wheat and the corn, if some should drop on the ground, no, they must not pick up. These would be the gleanings. They must not pick up. They would be left for the poor and the strangers that will come into the field later to harvest them. It reminds us of the Gentiles who have to be satisfied with the crumbs that fall down from the table. Now, these are things for the poor and the strangers. Who are the poor and the strangers? Ephesians chapter 2. We are strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. And so there is the anticipation of blessing that will fall off from the blessing on Israel to the Gentiles. Because they have rejected the Messiah, now the blessings come on the Gentiles. There may be crumbs, but they are real blessings and real gleanings. The standing sheaves waiting for the gathering, well, they will refer to the remnant of Israel that will come. Now, I have no time to turn to the references. Isaiah 1:9, 10:21, 22, 27, 12, 13 will refer to the remnant. Although all Israel will be gathered and will go back to the land, yet not all will believe. They will be returning to their land in unbelief. But there will be a remnant, a small remnant that will be faithful to God. And these people will be the good sheaves that will be left standing. And that's why in Matthew 24:31 we read, when the angels shall sound the trumpet, they all will be gathered, all Israel will be gathered back to the land, but in unbelief. Then there will be those who have believed, they are the remnant. Of course, in application to the church, it will be the church that will have believers in the Lord Jesus Christ taken up to be with him in heaven. Right. Now we come on to the last part. The final fall festivals in winter, the appointed feasts. A quick recapitulation. From the third month to the sixth month, no harvest because of the Feast of Weeks. That will be the interval. The interval would refer to the dispensation of the church as we dealt with last week. And that's a time when Israel will be set aside. God today is not dealing with Israel per se. God is dealing with the church, us. But when the church is taken up, then God will start dealing with Israel. Not please. First day, seventh month, Feast of Trumpets. Please look at Leviticus 23 so that you'll follow what I'm saying. That trumpet will refer to the rapture of the church as well as the regathering of Israel. Today, tenth, we are going to refer to the feast that we are studying today. The 10th day of 7th month will be the Day of Atonement, and that will be referring to the review and the reward for the church in heaven and repentance and retribution and repentance for Israel. I'll deal with this in detail as we go on. On the 15th to 22nd, you have a 7-day feast culminating in the 8th day. Now, that will be like the Feast of Unleavened Bread, beginning with the Feast of Passover, followed by a 7-day period. And here we have a 7-day period followed by a 1-day period. What that means, we shall see. It refers, of course, to the reign of the church in the millennium, and also for the Israel rest and peace. Sing. Right. Very quickly, recapitulation. Last week, the Feast of the Trumpets, we dealt with the construction of the trumpets made of silver, communication through the trumpets to call the people to warning against enemies that were coming, and so on and so forth. The convocation of the trumpets, Leviticus 23:25. It was to be a memorial of blowing of trumpets. By memorial, it means a remembrance. God will remember these people who have been scattered all over the world. The people who have been scattered all over the world will remember that Jehovah God, they will return. It will be a trumpet call to return to the land. They shall come. They shall come. And it shall be a Sabbath to them. They shall come. And it is the preparation for restitution, repentance, and rest when they shall rest in the millennium. Now, this is, I feel, already in the process, in the background. So that when the church is raptured up, immediately this will come, will be implemented. Please note, with regard to all the feasts, the Lord said, thou shalt do no servile work. With regard to the Sabbath, the Lord said, thou shalt do no work. That's a great difference. With all the feasts, where the Sabbath was to be implemented, thou shalt no servile work. Thou shalt do no ordinary work. Thou shalt not do the routine work. Why? Because you have to come for worship. The feasts were festivals where the people would come to worship. And so we find that God said, no servile work. And it's so important for us too, that on this Lord's Day, this is a festival feast. The Lord's Supper is a festival feast. That there should be no servile work. You can do your normal work. You can do your ordinary domestic work at home. But stop your occupational work. Stop your routine work. Come and worship. No servile work. Right. The Day of Atonement. A quick recapitulation of what actually happened with regard to the instruction concerning the Feast of the Lord. You remember Exodus chapter 12, God gave instruction to Moses. On the seventh month of the civil calendar, please note that the civil calendar, there were 6 more months before that. On the seventh month, God said to Moses, this is the beginning of months. Do not consider these 6 months more. This 7th month in the civil calendar will become the first month in the religious calendar. This is the beginning of months. 6 months. Then, the following 6 months will be the first 6 months of the new year. All right? Now get this calculation clear. There was change of calendar. Let me repeat. The seventh month of the old calendar became the first month of the new calendar. So that the 12 months of the old calendar will become the first month of the 7th month of the new calendar. So with that, let's see what happened. It will be the completion of the cycle now, because here the beginning of the first month, the beginning of the first month of the new calendar will now go on, and it will complete the circle. There's a cycle. The prior 6 months were wiped out. The 7th month, God said, this is the beginning of months. All the previous 6 months wiped out because of failure. The following 6 months, these 6 months worked out well. Why? Because they have a good foundation, and the foundation would be the Passover. If these 6 months would be based on the Passover. Now, following 6 months worked out, it was based on the Passover, where the lamb was slain. The lamb was selected out to be slain. That would be our redemption. I like to note out, to note please, that the lamb was chosen and slain on the 14th day of the first month. That is very important when we come on to discussion later on. Then, we find that on the today, seventh month, Day of Atonement. Now, what's so significant? On the 10th day, the Feast of Passover was celebrated. A lamb was slain. On the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement, a goat was slain. Let's see. 2 goats were offered. One was slain, the other, the scapegoat, was set out in the wilderness. So you see now, we have the complete cycle. Here, old calendar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th became the first month of the new calendar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and therefore, from now onwards, the 7th month will be the first month of the old calendar, but this will continue based on the 6 months here. Since the 6 months here have worked out well, the 7 months had a place. Since the previous 6 months did not work out well, all these were wiped out. A new calendar began. That's why it's so important. Right. So, what is the significance of the Day of Atonement? We have no time to go to Leviticus chapter 16. That will take another 2 Sundays. In relation to the church, let's look at what the Day of Atonement would point to. Now, if you look at it, the Day of Atonement before it would be the Feast of Trumpets. That would be the rapture. After it would be the tabernacles, the reign of the church over the earth. So in between the Day of Atonement, that would therefore be referring to the time before, after the rapture, and before the church coming down to earth to reign. And what event would occur between these two events? Of course, the judgment seat of Christ. So we would say that the Day of Atonement, as it refers to the church, it would point to the judgment seat of Christ, and all Christians will be tested. To confirm this, let us look at the features of this Day of Atonement. They were marked by atonement, penalty pardon, meaning when Christians stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, all our sins have been forgiven. And that's why we are there in heaven. Otherwise, we cannot be in heaven. It's marked by affliction, hearts humble. Oh, there will be people there. We shall not be tested for our sins. We shall be tested for our service. And therefore, the Lord, He will judge us. What have you done with the one talent that has been given you? I have hidden it in the ground. I have buried it in the ground. No reward, nothing. You'll be so ashamed, very humbled. Hearts would be humble on that day when we face the judgment seat of Christ and we have nothing to show, and our hearts will be much, much ashamed. But there will be those who, with their one talent, had won 5 more talents, 10 more talents. They will be rewarded. They will be rewarded. They will not suffer loss. But what about those who have suffered loss? Will they be unsaved? Will they be thrown to hell? No. This is a test where the people standing there will not be punished because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are saved as through fire. What about Israel? Well, with regard to Israel, before the Day of Atonement would be the Feast of Trumpets, the regathering. After the feast, the Day of Atonement would be the Feast of Tabernacles. In between must be the Great Tribulation. They would be brought into the land, and God would punish them for crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished, and then they will repent. Prominence of the features in the feast, let's confirm it. One, atonement. There will be a turning from sin during that period. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 10, 13. They shall see whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn, or they shall repent. Affliction. There will be a turning to the Lord, and rest. After that, the millennium, when they will have rest and they will rejoice in the land. That's what it says in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him. They will turn unto the Lord. And after that, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. This is the significance of the Day of Atonement. The Feast of Tabernacles. This would be the last of the Lord's feast. There's a long passage in Leviticus 23 on this. Shows how important it is. It is known as a closing festival. Now, in the King James Version, it says that a solemn feast. It is not a solemn feast. It is a closing festival. In other words, this Feast of Tabernacles is to bring about the closure of all the feasts that have been made beforehand. So, it points to the consummation of all things leading to the eternal state. This seven-day festival will show that God's program is now coming to an end, completed, and therefore it will lead on to eternity. This is a time when they will live in booths. They will not live in their homes. They will come up from their homes, and they will live in tents made of branches from trees. This is what will happen when people in yellow will be coming out from their homes, and they will stay. But these people stay in the streets. But Israel will stay in booths for 7 days, not one night, 7 days. There will be a time of rest from the labors. After that, there will be a time when there will be much rejoicing, a time of recollection of their lessons, how God had been faithful to them. And there will be a retrace of God's goodness to them during the time of the wilderness wanderings. All that you can find in those verses. A time of rejoicing in the Lord. I'm sorry, I have no time to refer to all the verses. But these verses are important. Go home and look at them. By the way, if you find, don't try to copy the notes, because the notes are all on my website. And all the references are there. Right, very quickly, the instructions concerning the festival. Note that verse 20, 37 and 38 is a passage that's in between. Before that, there was the description and instruction concerning the Feast of Tabernacles. Then 37, 38 comes in. Then after that again, some more instructions. Why? Let's see. This will mean a new division. Remember, I told you in my first study that when you see the word, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, would give us a new division, a new event that will take place. And definitely, this is a new event that will take place as separate from the Day of Atonement, as separate from the Feast of Weeks and so on. The 15th day of the seventh month is the commencement of the feast. Then 7 days will follow. That will be the commemoration of the feast. Then there is the 8th day. Oh, it's not only 7 days only. There's an 8th day. This 8th day is a special day, and it is known as the closing festival, bringing to a closure all God's program for Israel and the church. It's a new day. The 8th day is a new day, which must be observed. It says that on the first day and on the 8th day, there will be a Sabbath. There will be worship. Now, these two, first day and 8th day, are important days. And there will be a new demarcation, because it says that the 15th day is repeated first in 39 and then again before that. All right. Just to help you as understand, the verses 34 to 36 will tell us of the Godward aspect, how God looks at the Feast of Tabernacles, and 39 to 43, the manward aspect, what men must do in order to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You remember one thing, that this Feast of Tabernacles must be kept after the harvest. After you glean all the harvest in, then this feast begins on the 15th day. It has the 7-day feast, which means the completion of God's program. The 8th day will be a festival, the closure of all the feasts. It is the consummation of God's purpose on earth, and is the commencement of God's program in eternity. In other words, the 8th day is the beginning of eternity. 7 days, God's purpose consumed, consummated. 8th day, eternity begins. The description of the feast, the people were required to stay in booths made of branches from trees for 7 days. First day, keep the festival, observe in worship. 7th day, likewise the same. But, and there will be offerings offered. Throughout the 7 days, offerings must be offered. And these offerings are found in Numbers 29, 12 to 40. We have no time. I give you a summary of these offerings. They are very interesting. The initiation of peace. First day, 13 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs. You can check Numbers 29, verse 13. Second day, 12 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs. Third day, 11 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs. Fourth day, 10 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs. Fifth day, 9 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs. Sixth day, 8 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs. Seventh day, 7 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs. What do you find? That as far as the number of bullocks to be sacrificed, the number became fewer and fewer and fewer. And it started with the number 13. First day, 13 bullocks. Now, 13, for those of us who study gematria and numerology, knows that number 13 is the number of rebellion. Number of rebellion. And it is not surprising that in the millennium, there will be a rebellion before it finally ends. But on the seventh day, 7 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs. 7 bullocks will be, number 7 is perfection, complete. 14 lambs, complete. Right, what lesson can we learn from there? Please keep in mind, first day, 13 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs. 7th day, 7 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs. Rams, same number. Lambs, same number. Bullocks, depreciating from 13 to 7. 8th day, 1 bullock, 1 ram, 7 rams. What's so important, right? Let's see what lesson we can learn from this. Number one, during the time of the millennium, there will be sin and rebellion. And that's why we are the 13th day. First day, 13. There will be sin and there will be rebellion. Where does the sin come from? Satan is already bound for 1,000 years. Where can there be sin? Sin, don't blame Satan every time you sin. Blame yourself. Self can always lead to sin. And therefore, there is still the self. And children are born in the millennium. Over the 1,000 years, they know not the grace of the Lord. And as we come to the end, you find that those children who are born, who not knowing the redemption of the Lord, would rebel against God. So, there will be the sin of self. There will be a record of rebellion, 13 bullocks. One short of 2 times 7. 7 is perfection. There will be rebellion. The rebellion at the end of the millennium, we read in chapter 20, Revelation 27 to 10, where Satan will go out. Satan, after he has been released from the bottomless pit, will go out and call all those who have rebelled against God to go for that final battle with God. And God will destroy them with a fire from heaven. The defeat of Satan at the end of the millennium, Revelation 29. And then after that, there will be perfect peace. And that's why you have on the seventh day, 7 bullocks, 7 times 2 lambs. 7 is perfection. 8th day, there will be 1 bullock, 1 ram, 7 lambs. 8th day is the new day of eternity. And it will be perfect. There will be one God, there will be one Lord, and there will be one people. It will be just perfect. And that's why you see the number of the animals sacrificed on the 8th day. So, the last day of the feast. Now, in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of the Feast of Tabernacles was kept. But I'd like you to note how it was kept. What it should have been. If you have time, please turn to John 2, especially 37 to 40. Verse 37, the great day of the feast, that will be the 8th day. That will be the day when we have the culmination of the Feast of Tabernacles. On that day, the Lord Jesus Christ stood up. And then he gave an offer to take off the water of life. I'll refer to it afterwards. In the meanwhile, what had this Feast of Tabernacles, which should be the great day of the Lord's Feast, become in the time of Christ? Verse 2, it says there, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles. Wasn't it the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles? No. In the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, the feast had been taken over by the Jews, and it became the Jews' Feast of the Passover, of the Tabernacles. Take care. The Lord's Supper does not become our supper. The Lord's Supper must ever stay as the Lord's Supper. Remember Him and bring in our own affairs at the Lord's Supper, because it's the Lord's Supper. The Jews sought Jesus at the feast. Verse 11. Where is He? Of course He wasn't there. Figuratively, of course. They had rejected Him. What it should then be? Satisfaction in the Savior. Verses 37, 38. The Lord Jesus Christ stood up on that great day of the feast and said, come unto me, all ye that are thirsty. Drink of me, and you will never thirst again. Come unto me and drink. And then those who drink will have the Holy Spirit coming down upon them. There will be a superabundance in the Spirit. Verses 38 and 39. This was what it should have been if it remained the feast of the Lord. But it became the feast of the Jews. All these blessings did not come anymore. What it now is. It says there in verse 43, there is now a division among the people. as they heard the Lord Jesus Christ say, "All you that are thirsty, come unto me and drink." There was a division. Israel rejected the living waters. The church received the living waters, and they had the water of life because they drank of it. What it will be in the future day? The great day of a new beginning, the eighth day. It will be a great day of the new beginning. The grand state of a new experience when we shall be in heaven. The glorious God with the living waters. Revelation verse 10, chapter 21, verses 5 and 6. Waters will flow freely, and those who drink of it will have everlasting life. Oh, how blessed it is. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles should be. But the Jews rejected it. The future Feast of Tabernacles, literally, remember I said, after the church had been raptured, the Lord will take back Israel. The Lord will gather Israel back to their land. Jerusalem again will become the very center of the world. And all will have to flock to Jerusalem to worship God. God will restore the Jews their status. And God, the nation shall worship the king. Verse 16. Zechariah chapter 14. The nations must worship the king. If they do not worship the king, like Egypt, then there will be no rain upon the country. There will be no blessing upon the country, because they will not go to Jerusalem to worship the king. There will be a twofold feast in relation to Israel. First, the 7-day feast that will be Israel enjoying the blessings in the millennium. And there will also be the 8th day when there will be blessings, when they will be ushered into eternity. A new heaven, the old heaven and the old earth will be burned by fire. A new heaven and a new earth will come into being. It is a symbol meaning new. A new creation of heaven and a new earth. And all will be ushered into eternity. It is time. I am Alpha and Omega, says the Lord. And indeed, after this study, I am done. And I am tired also. Right. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Great. You want the details? You can see me later on at the question time. And then we shall go into more details. But in the meanwhile, we thank the Lord for your presence, and I thank the Lord for your presence and patience with me here. The Lord bless. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time that we can go into the shadows, but help us, Lord, not to remain there. Help us to come out and see the substance as what it should be in the very first place. Help us not destroy what Thou hast planned for us. All the blessings that Thou hast intended that we should have, Lord, help us to be prepared to enter into the fullness of thy blessings. So, Lord, grant that these studies may do us a lot of good, that as we reinforce what we have been studying throughout this whole term, the things yet future, that, Lord, through the various speakers and thine servants, the word has been preached forth. Grant, Lord, that now it may be reinforced, and we may be ready for the time when the Lord shall come. We ask these things, Lord, giving thee thanks in Christ's precious name. Amen.